He was a doctor that, as he should be, paid attention to details. And he was a doctor that loved the precise, loved knowing things in detail. And when he wrote the Book of Luke, he went to extreme efforts to talk to eyewitnesses that were present when Jesus was around, and he researched the stories and he made sure they were incredibly accurate, so when he wrote it, that we would have a very true picture of what the kingdom of God was about. And we are embarking on this journey to discover the kingdom of God through the lens of Luke, through the book. And Luke wrote both Luke and Acts, and it's good if you can read those two together. But we're going to spend the next 4 weeks, and you're going to get the privilege of having Pastor Paul next weekend unpack it. And he is known as more of a teacher, so that's going to be a great weekend to be at church. And then we've got Steve, and then Pastor Mike is going to be up from Timaru to finish off the series. So I thought it would be great if we could read together from the Book of Luke, but I don't know if you want to hear my voice. Have we got some people here who love reading out loud with some accents that wouldn't mind? Like Lisa, would you like to read out loud? Thank you for volunteering. you could sit there if you like.
Introduction. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I have also decided to write an accurate account for you, most honourable Theophilus, so that you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. The birth of John the Baptist foretold. When Herod was the king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children."
Wow, you could be like on the radio with that beautiful voice. That was incredible. Might have to get you to do part two in a moment. But the thing with the book of Luke is it's almost like a map. And we are adopted into the kingdom of God and we set out on this journey. There's all these paths that we can take in our Christian faith, and there is an end point in mind that we need to find. But the thing is that I can pretty much guarantee you will get lost on the journey. You will be following Jesus and deciding that you want to be his disciple and discover this kingdom of God, but you will get lost. You will get stuck. You will get to a place where you're just like, "Oh, I thought I knew where I was going. I thought I was following the signs. I thought that this was the path God wanted me on, but something bad's happened." Steve started out yesterday morning mountain biking through the forest and then his tire got punctured. And so he had to go back to the beginning and get another bike. I'm like carrying on going, "Poor Steve." And then having so much fun going through these mud puddles and it was pouring with rain and I'm just having the best time. And then I'm pedaling up this hill and my chain breaks. Things like that happen in the kingdom of God. And it's in that moment that you need to stop and go, I didn't expect this was going to happen, but I need to find out which direction I need to go in. And the Bible has been given to us as a gift. It is our roadmap. When you get lost in life, how often do you pick this up and go, "God, what are you saying? What direction are you giving me? My job hasn't worked out the way that I thought it would. My marriage feels like it's in pieces. I've got a teenager that's just falling apart. There's a relationship with a friend that I just feel like she's never going to forgive me. I've got a family member that's angry at me and hung up the phone on me." These are all stories from my life this week. One week it's like, but you know what? There is direction in here. And so often Christians I know are like me and go, I don't need a map. I'm just going to follow everyone else. I'm just going to go with the flow. And surely if I need to know something about direction, I'll just turn up at church on a Sunday and I'll hear a nice sermon. And that's enough, isn't it? Like, I don't actually need to go to the map for myself, do I? I don't actually need to read this. But there is so much in here. We need the Word of God. It is alive and it's active. And there is so much in the book of Luke for us. If we could just have one book to read for the rest of our lives, then we could find enough in Luke. I know that's a big call because we've got the whole Bible, but Luke is just full of gold. And so here we have this story right at the beginning of the kingdom of God getting established through Jesus. And we've got this priest who's grown up hearing the Torah, hearing the first 5 books of the Bible, and he's very familiar. And he's become a priest. So the priests were chosen from Moses' brother's family line. So Aaron was the lineage of priests that came out of that. And he wasn't just a priest. He married Elizabeth, who was also from a line of Aaron. And so they were an incredibly powerful couple that just loved God, were righteous, were known to follow all of the things written in Scripture. But She was barren. She got onto this pathway where her chain broke, where she couldn't go forward. In society, it was the biggest shame to not bear a son, to carry on the family line. They would not have a priest to be able to go into the temple and carry on their family line. And so it was incredibly, incredibly embarrassing for them as a family. It's where your social status came from. And so Zechariah's in this place where he gets chosen. So they would kind of like almost like roll dice and go, okay, who's on duty this week? Maybe we should do that for our worship team. Who's going to be on duty this week? There was 24 orders of priests, so which equaled about 18,000 priests. So pretty much once in your lifetime is probably the average. The dice would get rolled and you would get your pick. So this is as once in a lifetime opportunity to go into the temple and to burn the incense. And so that's pretty much what they had a week of that. And he goes in and everyone's standing around waiting for him to come out, because the priests would come out and they would pray blessing on the people. And he's like, he's taking so long. What's happening? What's going on? We want our blessing. Maybe God's not listening to him, and maybe his prayers aren't being heard, and maybe something's happened and we're going to miss out. Maybe God's being silent. But he comes out and he has this encounter with God and he can't speak. But God is, he is at work. So often we can get into like the situation where I was on my bike and I was just like, I need to get in touch with someone, and there was no communication because there was like no service. I'm on 2 degrees. You think there would be service at Woodhill. But there was this patch, just this small patch where I was in the forest, and I couldn't hear anything from anyone. I was alone in this forest, and there was no way that I could get advice from someone or to hear direction. And God was silent for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then he turns up to Zechariah and he speaks and he says, I have got a plan. I have got a purpose. I am going to show you how this kingdom of God is going to be established, and your son is going to lead the way. So good. God is faithful to speak. He is faithful to lead us in that direction. You know, there was a point where I thought I was going the right way, and David Gilbert had got hold of me and he'd said, right, I need you to find the road. Don't go on different paths, just find the road, and then that will lead you back to the beginning. I was like, okay. So I end up on this road, but the problem is that there's two options. I can either go right or I can go left. And so I'm standing there like going, okay, do I go right or do I go that way? And they both look really like really good options. I'm like, well, I guess they could both lead down the hill. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not sure. And still at this point have not pulled my map out that Steve gave me. I'm laughing. Anyway, you have permission to laugh at me. So I'm standing there not knowing what to do. And then these two guys bike along and they're like, are you okay? And I was like, no, my chain's broken and I need to get back to the beginning. And they go, oh, well, you just need to go to the left. That'll take you back to the beginning. I go, oh, great, thank you. I really appreciate that, because I think, you know, I probably just need to get back to the car park and find my friend. And they said, oh, the car park. I said, yeah, that's at the beginning. They go, oh, we thought you meant the other beginning. The beginning of where this whole thing starts. And I was like, no, not that beginning, the other beginning. And they're like, oh, well, then you need to go right then. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's really helpful. But, you know, people misinterpret you when you talk, and people misinterpret this book all the time. And And that's why I guess we're so excited to do this series, because we want to help unpack it. We, like Dean was preaching last week, there's so much more than just reading it at face value. There is beautiful nuggets of gold in here that God wants to help us with. And it's like when you, I had to do this in the Navy, they teach you how to read maps. And so David reminded me that. He's like, you learnt land navigation in the Navy as well as sea navigation. I know, but I'm just not good at this stuff. But on the maps and on the charts, there's a key, and it says, if you want to know where, this is the symbol for the mountains, and this is the symbol for a bridge, and this is the symbol for a river. And if you want to know the scale, then 1 centimeter on a map can equal 1 kilometer, and all of those things. That's in scripture, but you've got to know how to understand the keys and the symbols, and because God so wants to help us on our journey. He doesn't want us stumbling around, and he's so good, and we need to go back to the beginning, and that's why we're starting with Luke chapter 1. So those guys were very helpful. But there is an amazing parallel story. I love how Luke does this so well. He's very different from the other gospel writers, and he brings out things that Jesus really wants us to know are important. And one of those key things is that he chooses a female to speak to, which had never happened before in history, in the Bible, in the Old Testament scripture. God had never turned up and spoken to a female. And so he's going, I'm about to change things. And he turns up to this 14, possibly between that, and the scholars say between the age of 12 and 14. Mary would have been, turns up to her, and he speaks to her about what's about to happen. And just like me, where I had that choice of which direction to go in, Zechariah, in the exact same moment, they both had a different response. Zechariah responded very differently to Mary. So do you mind reading the next part, Lisa? Who's enjoying Lisa's voice? It's so good, isn't it?
The birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne to his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Mary visits Elizabeth. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." The Magnificat, Mary's song of praise. Mary responded, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then went back to her own home. The birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. All fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Zechariah's prophecy. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Saviour from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel.
Thank you, so appreciate that. It's an incredible parallel, isn't it? And I think the challenge when I read that is looking at Zechariah and Elizabeth's journey with God and almost growing up in church and being so familiar with Scripture, so familiar with the prophecies about this coming Saviour. And then the parallel with Mary, who had grown up hearing stories also probably about Father Abraham and the faith that he had to give birth to Isaac, the promised son to his barren wife. And I'm challenged that so often we can live this life of the familiar instead of a life of faith. But actually, when we walk in the kingdom of God, when we choose to follow Jesus, we do need to live that life of faith. We need it to live a life where we're not necessarily seeing things how we want to see them in the natural, but it's that unseen. It's having a faith that God is at work behind the scenes, that God's promises are yes and amen, that we're to live a life of faith, not of fear. A life that all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That he is a faithful God. And I went back to the beginning. I found the beginning. There was one point where I thought maybe I should get out my map. And David was on the phone to me and he said, have you got a map? And I go, yes, I have a map. He goes, do you want to get it out and have a look at it? So, okay. So I pulled it out and there was a sign that I'd seen and I thought, okay, if I can find that sign on the map, maybe I'll know where I am. So I did. Amazing, isn't it, how maps work? And he goes, what I think you need to do is go in this direction. And I was like, yeah, but on the map I can see quite clearly that if I stick to this path where the sign is, I'll be able to get to the end. He goes, yeah, but it's going to be quicker if you find the road. I go, it probably is, but I can see on the map that it makes sense to me if I follow this path. And I, even if it takes longer, I just feel like I need to follow what the map's saying. My humble voice. And so I did. And it did take a lot longer, but I got back to the beginning. And walking my bike, and then when it went downhill, I jumped on it and just sailed for a bit and got back to the beginning. And he said, right, let's fix that chain. So he took it to a mechanic at Forest Hill, and the guy fixed it. And he goes, right, you need to get back on the bike now and you need to go and find a new track and have a ride, enjoy it. And I was like, oh, no, I'm exhausted. I mean, like, took me, I don't know how long it took me to get back walking the flipping thing. And he goes, no, you need to get back on the bike and you need to have some fun. It's honestly, if you go down this track, it'll only take you 20 minutes. I really want you to get back on the bike and do this. I was like, okay, David, I'll do it. And I believed him. I believed that it would take 20 minutes. I believed him that when he said, you're going to have fun. And I was grateful for him fixing the chain. And so he says, before you go back out on that track, I want to show you the map, okay, where you're going. I was like, okay. So we go over to this. There's this huge big kind of board with the map on it, blown up in big scale. He goes, you're here right now. And this is where you're going to end up. And this is the track that you need to take. But to get onto that track, you're going to have to go down this road straight. And then you're going to have to take a left. And then you're going to have to take another left. And you need to follow the signs. He goes, do you understand what I'm saying, Helen? Can you see where I'm showing you? And does it make sense? And I'm like, yes. I think he was so frustrated with me that I don't understand navigation. So he was taking his time and he was going, honestly, it's worth it. You are going to love this track. It's going to be great. And he was so careful to show me how to get there. And I just want to encourage you. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit guided every word on this page, and it will guide and direct your life if you go to it, if you use it as a map. Those times where you're just like, I know I need to go in a new direction in my life. I feel like I'm at a crossroads, or I feel like I've got to get on that bike again and go back. Get back into that Christian journey and trusting, following Jesus again. Maybe feels like you've just fallen off your bike and you're just like, no, I'm actually good. I don't need to get back on that again. But this will change your life if you open it, if you read it, if you get into it. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me about this? You know, there's so many stories that we're going to unpack in Luke coming up, where people's chains were broken in a good way. And I'm really excited about what we're going to discover together. But I would love to pray for you this morning. I feel like there's some people here, and maybe like you, me, you're in a crossroads, or you've been at a point where you were at a crossroads and you had two choices, and maybe you felt like you took the wrong one and it's taken a bit longer than you thought. Maybe you didn't stop to ask for directions. You thought, I know, I'll figure this out, I'm all good. Maybe there's some of you here, like Zachariah and Elizabeth, where, you know, the Christian faith just become really familiar, and you've forgotten maybe what it's like to live by faith, to step out of faith, to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. Because it's pretty crazy the way he decided to open the kingdom of God by giving a son to a couple that were too old to bear a child, and another son to a teenage girl that was a virgin. Sometimes God does crazy stuff and we need faith. So can I pray for you this morning? Father, I pray for anyone here today that's in that place where they're in a crossroads. They feel confused, they feel stuck, they feel maybe disappointed of where they've ended up. I just pray right now that you would give them the word that they need, the revelation they need, the peace that they need, the courage that they need to go back and find the right pathway again. Lord, I pray as they open scripture this week that you would speak to them clearly, that you would encourage them, that you would give them. I just thank you that for that scripture that says your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, God, that we don't have to walk in darkness, that your word lights the way for us. And Father, I pray for anyone here today that is just feeling like they've just become really familiar with the Christian faith. And I pray, God, for just a release of faith to come again, for faith to rise in their spirit, to trust you when, God, they can't see. That faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. I release faith right now. Faith that you are a good God, that you are a faithful God, and when things don't make sense, that they could trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.